a very warm welcome to our talk this morning. The subject of the talk is putting kindness at the heart of everything that you do. My name is Arielle. I have been a vet for almost 30 years, and I've been vegan for just over 3 years. This journey that I'm about to take you on and tell my story to you is a very personal one, but I just wanted to say how overwhelmed I quite feel that taking a platform that I know Earthling Ed will be talking to people in this beautiful Alexandra Palace, because a normal Saturday morning for me is spent doing the park run in our local town and then a family shop at Lidl, and here I am taking myself completely out of my comfort zone and talking to you all. But I feel very humbled, and I want to take you on the journey that I've been on. So the very first thing I want to do is just rewind 7 years. So I'm not just a vet, but I'm also a mum, and I've got 4 children. At one point, 7 years ago, 3 of them were teenagers, and I just felt, I don't know how the teenage brain works. And I wanted to support them as best as I could. And I chose to apply for a job as a teaching assistant at our local secondary school. And I got the job. I don't know if anybody here is a teacher, because if anybody of you are teachers, I admire and respect you enormously. But if any of you are teaching assistants, I admire and respect you even more, because this is my experience as a teaching assistant. I was sitting in a biology class next to a little year 6 boy, and I loved all the children that I worked with. Just the sweetest children, and naughtier and the older they got, I just realized there were these teenagers in children's bodies, the more I loved them. And a little year 6 boy turned to ask me a very simple question in biology. I answered his question, and he looked at me, and the next minute he just shot his little hand up, and he asked the teacher the very same question. And obviously I felt very hurt, because here I was, not only had I passed year 6, I had done quite well at school, and I had a veterinary degree, and I was being ignored. I was being completely ignored by this little boy. And I now want to fast forward where I've come 7 years later. So April the 13th, I was working at my unit. I'm a vegan vet, and I have a unit which has dog food in it. And one of my biggest heroes came to visit me, James Wilkes. He is the Netflix Game Changers sensation. He lives in the US, but he was visiting the UK with his son. And he chose to actually come and visit me. And it completely surprised me, because, as I say, he's one of my biggest heroes. He came through the door. He asked me about my food. I asked him about his dogs. I was completely starstruck. I think I mumbled and bumbled completely, because he's one of the vegan superheroes, really. And then he gave me another huge hug and he left. And remember, he is not just vegan, but he's also a martial arts. He's a fighter. And my goodness, it was like hugging a brick wall. Imagine like hugging your dear husband there, but I'm digressing here. But it was the most wonderful experience. And then a few weeks later, a Channel 5 film crew came to my house with a presenter called Alexis Conran, who my son actually, he's this dashing presenter, and when I told my son that Alexis Conran and this Channel 5 film crew had been to our house, my son Googled him, and his face came up, and he said, "What?" He said, "This, but I know this guy, he's wealthy, he's famous." And I said, "Yes, he came to our house, and we made him sandwiches." He said, "What, you made him sandwiches?" So I said, "Yes." So we had a film crew that came to our house. My daughters were home from university. They filmed me. They filmed me in our garden. They filmed me on the dog walk that I do with my dog. A very personal space for me, actually. I find my dog walks are my mindfulness. I never ever take a phone when I'm on a walk, because it's just my space in nature to share with my dog. And yet here I had this film crew following me, and we had to keep doing retakes with our little dog. Paul, he's such a darling little dog, and we had to keep calling him back and then walking up. and he did what he was supposed to do. But it felt quite surreal. The program is called Dog Poo Wars. It's actually going to be on Channel 5 next week, so look out for that. And I'm wearing the same clothes, so you'll recognize me. A few weeks after that, I appeared in the center page of the Guardian newspaper, so this is just last month, an article also all about vegan dog food with a picture of our dog. Again, felt surreal. My dad said to me, oh my goodness, he's really proud. His daughter's made page 3 of the newspaper. You've made it. But what I want to say is, 7 years previously, a little year 6 boy wouldn't even listen to what I was saying. I had no voice. I had nothing. And 7 years on, I suddenly have all of this. And what changed everything for me is kindness. It's the simplest act that every single one of us can do, whether we're old, young, whatever religion we have. Children are born with kindness. It's something that's innately within us. But it equally, kindness has the most amazing ripple effects. And the journey that I've been on has been a journey based around kindness. Don't start crying already, because I have to get through this entire talk without crying. I've practiced it in a mirror at home, and I've even cried at myself, which is terrible. But here goes. So this is my journey, and every step that I've taken has been based around kindness, which if I can do it, every single one of you can do it. My journey really started working at the PDSA, which is a charity that you work for, and I was working in Leicester as a vet. And I loved working at a charity. I came into contact with people who I'd never ever come into contact with before. They were elderly people. There were single mothers, people on social benefits, people with such severe physical and mental disabilities. And everything they did was centered around their pet. They adored their animals, whether it was a cat, dog, or budgie. Some of them even confessed to me that if it wasn't for their pet, they would have taken their own lives. If it wasn't for having to get up in the morning to feed their staffy or their budgie, they would have no reason to live. It was a very emotional environment that I worked in, but it gave me such an insight into the bond that owners have with their pets that can be so overwhelming that the only way they know to do is to feed them, and feed them with love, because that to an owner is a sign that that's how much they love their dog. They must be treated constantly. So you've got owners like chocolate brown Labradors who just love their food, and obviously, and other breeds that are just food driven, and they would get enormously overweight. And this became my biggest concern working at this charity, is the obesity epidemic that I saw overwhelmed me. And there was one day in particular where I had 4 animals to put to sleep in one day, and it was all down to obesity related problems. I had an enormous, it was a golden Labrador. He came into my consulting room and he just flopped on the floor. His body was so big, he had such severe arthritis he couldn't stand. There were cats with cancer, all related to obesity. And it upset me so much. It was an emotional day. I used to get home emotionally drained when I got home, but I flopped on the sofa and I said to my family, right, that's it. I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to start up slimming pet classes. I want to teach owners how to feed their dogs properly, you know, cats properly, or dogs in particular. So I thought, okay, in order to do this, so I joined our local Slimming World. I thought, right, got to find out how it's done. Help me nicely. But I thought, gosh, nutrition-wise, as a vet, I actually know nothing about nutrition. As vets, and it's very similar in doctors, is you're taught very little about nutrition. You're taught beautifully how to treat a patient, whether that be a dog or a cat or a person, with what medication to use. Your 6 or 5 years is spent teaching how to treat, but the basis of nutrition and especially in veterinary, that's left up to the big pet food companies. And I knew nothing about nutrition. So I thought, right, I'm going to throw myself into doing as much nutrition as I can. So I did every single veterinary nutrition course going. Some I even did twice. I found it fascinating. And the more I looked at it, the more I realized, my goodness, the more plants you add into a dog's diet, the healthier they're going to be. And that's the same in our diet, obviously. And this journey that I went on was such an eye-opener. My slimming pet clubs nobody came, because no one wants to be told that their pets are fat. Exactly like as if you say to a mother, right, take your child to this class because your child is obese. No one listened to me. No one wanted that. I did feel despondent for about, it was quite a few months. I put so much energy into it. I bought scales. I hired a village hall. I had a little top made. I had a logo. I had everything. And I remember Ruff and I sitting in this village hall and no one came. But I thought, right, I'm just going to start to apply it to the people I'm helping. And there's one particular person that I started to apply it to while still at the PDSA, is a man who, I don't know his name, but he brought in this gorgeous black Labrador called Paris. And Paris would come once a month to be weighed by any of the vets who saw her. It was a very quick consultation. It's called a repeat prescription consultation. She had very bad elbow arthritis, which is quite a common condition in Labradors, and she was on medication for her arthritis. And the amount of medication you give depends on the weight of the dog. So if she put weight on, she would get a little bit more of this medication. If she lost weight, a little bit less. Not great, because obviously the heavier she is, the more she has of this medication that can affect her kidneys long term. But she came in and I thought, right, I'm going to... The basis of her problem is, like all owners, he loved her so much and she was carrying extra weight. She wasn't obese, but she was heavy. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to help him with everything I've learned. He can be my start. And I wasn't going to come out with saying, what do you feed her? Because if a vet or if a doctor asks you that, you'll only tell them the healthiest things you eat. You'll never tell them all the rubbish that you're eating. And similarly with vets, if you ask, what do you feed your dog? They will never tell you exactly what they feed. In fact, they forget the name of the brand, even though they're using it every day. So I approached it completely differently. I approached it with kindness and with empathy. And I remember we were bending over Paris, and everything has to happen very quickly. You've only got 10 minutes in a consultation with each animal. And so I was checking her elbows while I was doing it. And I said to him, I said, I can see your bond with Paris is so great. It must be so hard not to want to overfeed her with love. And I'll never forget the look in his face. He looked up and he just looked at me, and this like little spark went on in his brain, that suddenly someone was listening to him. Someone was caring. So I started saying to him, look, just add more vegetables into her diet. I wasn't vegan then. I didn't know about vegan dog food. It was nothing. And I just said, add more vegetables into her diet. It will make a difference. And the fact that I'd formed this bond with him was wonderful. Every month he would come and he would ask for me to see Paris. And just going back to kindness, if you show one act of kindness, whether it's just a smile to a person on a run or a walk, or whether you open the door for someone, that person, without even knowing, will go on and be kind to 5 more people. And so the ripple effects of kindness are enormous. They're actually trajectory. And that's exactly what Paris's dad did. Is the simple act of me asking about Paris and showing concern for Paris, this wonderful man, well, I'll just quickly tell you a story about him. He's not an elderly man, he's sort of middle-aged, but Paris not only was a very loved home dog, but she actually was a service dog, because he suffered from epilepsy. And any time he had a seizure, she would sound the alarm. And he told me this wonderful story, and the consulting rooms in the charity are tiny, and we were both laughing so much. I don't know what they thought outside, but he was telling me a story. He was in his kitchen, and he had just made himself a bacon sandwich, and he fell down and had a seizure. And the next minute, he woke up, Paris was licking his face, help had arrived, she had done her job and signaled, and he got up, and the bacon sandwich had gone. And we were trying to mention the scenario. Here is Paris's dad, both on the floor. What does she do first? Does she call the alarm? Does she sound the alarm? Or does she eat the bacon sandwich? We'll never know. But what Paris's dad did was just wonderful. He wasn't a fit man, but he set himself a challenge of cycling from the Midlands, which is where I live, to the coast. And not just that, he raised money, and he raised £3,000, and he came in with an enormous check. And we all stood at the PDSA, and we had a picture taken with Paris. I've got this picture, I love it. And he went on, and he donated it to the charity, this wonderful, wonderful PDSA charity that so badly needs the help. So his ripple effects were, it's just a show of kindness at play. There was something I was going to do with you as an audience, but because you're sitting in different places, and I've seen it done in a talk where everybody sits together, but it's just the most wonderful thing to show the effects of kindness, where you get... I'm going to try it anyway. I'm going to say, have any of you here fed your dogs vegan food for at least 10 years? And if you have, stand up. Okay. My next question I'm going to ask is, if you fed your dog a vegan diet for, or you currently feed your dog a vegan diet, I want you to stand up. And hang on, but when you stand up, if you're sitting next to somebody or somebody in front or behind you has stood up, I want you to stand up as well. So are there any people in the audience who are feeding their dogs a vegan diet? If you can stand up. And remember to stand up if the people around you have stood up. Wonderful, wonderful. So what we have here are not only the ripple effects of kindness, but the ripple effects of veganism. Thank you, you can all sit down now. It's just a beautiful example and ties in so perfectly to me. Veganism and kindness are so inextricably linked that they are just bound together. I wasn't vegan yet, and still something was to happen in my life that was to change me quite considerably. Now, we all have people that inspire us, whether they be very famous people saying very famous quotes. The word inspire means to breathe in, so they give you that wow factor, or they just help you to breathe. And the person who inspired me actually just helped me to breathe. I don't know his name. He doesn't know I exist. He's an elderly man who lives in the street around the corner from where I live. He lives in a tiny little terraced house. He cuts the tiny little patch of grass outside his house with scissors. And he's obsessed with the litter that surrounds his house. And he has one of these litter, crocodile litter pickers, and he constantly picks up litter outside his house. I've tried to make eye contact with him and smile at him because I just so admire what he does, but he's constantly looking down, and in fact he talks to himself while he does it. So he's in his own little world. But I looked at him and I just thought, what a wonderful thing to do. Right, he's doing the bottom of the street. I go jogging the other end out of town, and there is just so much rubbish along the streets where I run. I'm going to start to do the same. And so I did what's called plogging, where you jog and you pick up rubbish. And I put on blue plastic gloves, I had a little bag. In the winter, I put on a balaclava with a head torch. We live outside an army camp. I look terribly suspicious. And I began picking up rubbish. And I did this for years, and I must have picked up tons of people's rubbish. But I picked up people's addictions. I picked up Coke cans, beer cans, vodka bottles, vape packets, cigarette packets. There was one thing that worried me the most, I remember, that had happened a few times, is empty paracetamol blister packs. but an entire box scattered. And I just thought, oh my goodness, I worry so much for that person who's thrown that out. And then followed by a Red Bull can. In the winter, just before New Year, there would be frozen cupcakes, not even eaten, thrown out of cars, and chocolates still in their wrappers. So people obviously having a good old binge before New Year, or huge smoke of cigarettes, throw out what's left, half a cigarette pack thrown out. It was such an eye-opener for me. And the main thing that it did for me is the road that I was running on had no pavement. It just had a little grassy verge. And the cars would come around the corner, and when they came around, I would step onto this grassy verge. And if I felt a crunching under my feet from a plastic bottle that had been buried there for quite a few years, probably, with just its little end sticking up, I would bend down and pick it up. It would come out with all the earth, and I'd put it in my bag. And then And while I was doing this, I would imagine the hedgehogs thanking me for just looking after the hedgerows, for giving them space to breathe, to remove the rubbish from their environment. And then I'd run around the corner, and I'd hear the birds singing. And I'd imagine them thanking me, because it's just the most wonderful feeling in the world. But what it did is it connected me with nature in a way that I never knew possible. I'm going to come back to this story, but right at the end, because it ties in so beautifully that all this time, I still wasn't vegan. My son was vegan, and I always admired him. As a young teenager, he came to my husband and I and said, I'm going to become vegan. And I remember we worried terribly. I never worried for his nutrition, because he was studying pharmacy at university. He reads intensively. He's an intelligent young man. I knew nutritionally he'd be fine. But I worried as a mum, because suddenly he was going to be aware of where the food came from. He was going to worry about our future, about the climate. And none of us want our children to worry. And that was my worry. But I had no idea the impact of my litter picking would have on me, because it made me so respect nature and start to think, right, I've got to turn vegan. I've been in denial as a mum. I brought my children up on petit filou and chicken nuggets, because that's what you're told by these big companies. You're not told any better. You're told they need calcium to grow, and you get it from milk. And I did that as a mum, and I as a vet, I found this incredible bias, this dissociate bias that I had, where as a mum, as a vet, you give an enormous amount of care to one species, a dog or a cat, a huge amount, or even a rabbit. But then at university, I've never practiced as a large animal vet, but I had to learn about large animal vets. Now this bit I have to try and get through without crying, but at vet school, I remember learning, and I just accepted it. I remember learning that when a dairy cow develops mastitis, which they do very commonly because obviously they're producing milk all the time to feed us, the mastitis is normally so bad that it becomes so infected, you just cut the teat away, but you don't even use any anesthesia, you just cut the teat away. And I didn't even, as a student learning that, think, this is barbaric. And not even that, but when I became a mum, that bond that you have with your baby when it's born, that oxytocin release you get is enormous. All you want is to nurture, to love, to care for that baby. And the dairy cow is never, ever given that option. They have their babies taken away. They are full of these hormones. And this doesn't just happen once. This happens every single year so that they can keep on producing milk for us that we don't even need. And this bias that I had, I just suddenly, it just was like a light bulb moment. And I just thought, what on earth am I doing not being vegan? It just doesn't make sense with everything I now see and believe in and appreciate. So 3 years ago, I announced to my husband, who's also a vet, I said, I'm going to turn vegan. And I wasn't even vegetarian prior to this. But not only that, I'm turning our family dog vegan. Now, our family dog, he's called Ruff. He's a little rescue found wandering the streets of Cyprus. He's a darling little dog. He doesn't have a nasty bone in his body. He just loves us, and we just love him, and he binds us as a family. So when I announced to my husband as a vet that I was going to put him onto a vegan diet, oh my goodness, my husband was not happy. So I had so much to prove. Here I was a vet, I adored this little dog. Wow, okay, I was going to get it right, 100% right, to prove to my husband. That was my main thing, my main aim. So I turned to all the top vet nutritionists in the UK, and I said to, I had contacted them before when I was going to start my Slimming Pet classes, and I said to them, what do you feel about vegan dog food? Can it be done? And they all said no. They said, oh no, it can be, it's being done in the US. You can get supplements from the US. And I just thought, no, that's not good enough for me. I'm not importing supplement from the US. That carbon footprint is enormous. And it was, well, just searching, I found a company called VegDog in Germany that had the most fantastic website. They had the most fantastic food. They had supplement. But it was all in German. And when you clicked the Google Translate button, it translated into English, but the English was rubbish. It didn't read well. And I thought, I want British people to be able to read this. I want them to learn that it can be done. Look, the Germans are doing it. They're the most sustainable people in the world. And so I bravely picked up the phone. I've got a tiny smattering of German, but I love the Germans. They all speak really good English, and they're so down to earth. I picked up the phone for this company, this VegDog company, and I said to them, look, you've got a lovely website. I love your brand, but can I help to translate your website? Because I want the British people to learn that it can be done. And that was my first act of just wanting to help. I just wanted to help them. But again, this kindness that comes back on you like a ripple effect came back on me in a way that I couldn't imagine possible. Is not only did they say, yes, you can help us, I got to meet the people who own VegDog, the lovely ladies who own it, and they put me in touch with their vegan vet nutritionist, a German lady. And my journey had begun because I finally knew how to do it properly. The Germans, and the lady who started this VegDog company, she actually started it 12 years ago. So vegan dog food has been massive in Germany, done properly 12 years ago. She actually started it. That we, as British, we import our dogs, our rescues from Spain, from Romania, from Greece, Cyprus. But in Germany, they take rescue dogs, and they take them from Costa Rica, from Mexico. And this particular lady wasn't even vegan, but she had a rescue dog from Costa Rica called Nelson. I'll never forget his name because Nelson Mandela is one of my biggest heroes. And Nelson was a white Labrador, and he suffered from such severe digestive problems. She told me his history when I spoke to her, and she took him time and time again to the vet, and eventually one of the vets said, look, put him onto a vegan diet, and she thought this is crazy, but she tried, and all his problems went away. And that's when she made contact with the vet nutritionist, the vegan, and she started her VegDog company. And he was 8, he lived till he was 16, Nelson. He died a long time ago. But this company made such an impact on me that I began importing the food. Now just remember, I'm a vet, I have no knowledge of running a business. All I know is how to make animals better. And I suddenly threw myself into a world where I was completely alone, but completely alone. I had no concept of how to run a business. I didn't know about VAT. I didn't know about marketing. But on the other side, I was trying to promote a product that no vets in the country believed in, because they'd all sent me away. Germany, wonderful, but the UK, no. But not only that, I had dog owners in the UK already feeding their dogs vegan, but they weren't doing it correctly. They were feeding with no supplements. And this worried me more than anything, because a vegan diet in humans has to be supplemented, and a vegan dog food diet definitely has to be supplemented in dogs. So I've never felt more alone in my life. It was a terrifying journey, but I did the only thing I know possible is to help. So I reached out to anybody who wanted my help. And young entrepreneurs started contacting me because I'd set up a website at this point, wanting to start a business, and I told them everything I knew. And they gave me some business advice. They told me where to get my packaging done, how to do these things. And the start for me was meeting owners, the most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful owners in the world that I started helping their dogs and made a difference to their dog's health. And more and more and more owners started to contact me. And it just, if we look at kindness as a pond and imagine a duck on a pond and someone jumps in and it makes ripples, and those ripples come to the end of the pond, they actually, according to the law of physics, my daughter's just done her A-level exams, the ripples come back, but they come back so much stronger. They all come back together. And that's what happens with kindness. As you reach out to somebody with kindness, it comes whacking great back at you. And that's what's happened with me. It's overwhelmed me, but in such an enormously positive way. On the 13th of April this year, which is when I had my hug from James Wilkes, something incredible happened as well, besides that, being meeting James Wilkes, is Professor Andrew Knight, who, he's a little bit like my dog, Ruff. I said Ruff doesn't have a nasty bone in his body. To me, Ruff is just made of goodness. Professor Andrew Knight is a vet in the UK who's just made of goodness. And he wrote, he published a paper that was released on the 13th of April. He did a study of just under 3,000 dogs that showed that dogs on a vegan diet not only live longer and healthier lives, dogs on a vegan diet compared to a meat-based or raw food diet actually live longer and they live healthier lives. And oh my goodness, suddenly my work was done, and the positivity that has given me to now just be able to move on. I don't have to prove myself anymore. I can now just help. But am I positive about our future for our children? As I said, I'm a mum. And we all just want a future for our children because that's what we live for. We live for the next generation. This goes back to my running. So I had to stop running. I went a bit crazy during lockdown and actually ran every single day, as we do when you're under severe stress. You do these silly things. And I became injured. So I stopped running for a whole year. Right, I'm going to heal my ankle. And then I started up again. And I started up, and I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to be faced with so much rubbish. I didn't even take my gloves. I didn't even take my bag out with me. I just wanted to clear my head and go for my run. And I ran along the road, and there was no rubbish. And I came around the corner, and the place where there would be fly tipping, there was nothing. There were normally tires left there. There was people's rubbish always left there, thrown out. There was nothing. And I carried on. It's not a long run. It's only 3 kilometers. But in 3 kilometers, I used to pick up a good 2 bags. There was nothing. And I got home, and I thought, this is amazing. What has the council done? And I Googled it. And our local council had so many queries from people who live there, who live in our town, asking, they wanted to litter pick. They formed a group called the Melton Matters Wombles. And they are given by the council, they're given high visibility jackets, they're given pink bags, they pick up all the rubbish and they put them on the side, and the council will then fetch the rubbish. And oh my word, when I saw this just gave me the biggest amount of hope possible, because it's just proof that it's not up to the huge corporates, it's not up to governments, it's up to tiny individuals like us to make that difference and work towards just goodness at the end of the day. So at the end of the day, all week I can say is just be kind. Wanted to ask if there's any questions. Do you have any questions about anybody? I know I haven't spoken about anything about dog food, but it's been more my journey. But thank you for listening. You've just been lovely having you to talk to. Thank you.
I'll stop now.
You look like you want more. I'm sorry, I haven't got any more.